Singer-songwriter Nick Acosta's sound is a throwback to the days of funk and soul music. Nick came on to the American music scene in 2001 with the hit singles Like a Feather and Everybody Got Their Something. Now, Nick Acosta is back with a new album and a new record label. NPR's Farai Chidea spoke to her about her latest album, Pebble to a Pearl. Farai started off by asking Nick about the album's first track, Stuck to You.
This album, Pebble to a Pearl, I just have to say the lead track totally, it totally gets me. And I hear a little bit of Stevie Wonder's Boogie On Reggae Woman and just the beat. If you stop the Milky Way, if you bop, drink up every day, if you the town, I'd be the top. Did that inspire you at all?
Oh, sure. You know, I was constantly, I wanted to make a record that brought me back to the music that made me want to make records in the first place. And that was, you know, early Stevie and Rufus and Chaka Khan and Etta James and James Brown. And so I was listening to a lot of that stuff just, you know, for inspiration. And, you know, so and we used a lot of the same kind of instruments and stuff. Like, that's a Moog that's making that sound. And obviously, you know, Stevie Wonder used Moogs a lot, so yeah.
Moog synthesizer, early synthesizers,
yeah,
right?
yeah.
Stax, mm-hmm. which is your label, has been reinvigorated and reinvented. And Stax, of course, Isaac Hayes, the late great Isaac Hayes, mm-hmm. was on Stax, and you know I've watched the documentary Watt Stax about a million
That's
times.
Amazing.
So how did you end up on the new Stax after being on Virgin Records?
Well, I had gotten off Virgin and then made this record. And while we were mixing this record, I basically formed a record label called Go Funk Yourself Records, which I was just going to put this record out on my own. And, you know, we paid for it all ourselves and had no real plans to get in bed with another label. But Stax, through the grapevine, heard that I was in the studio and really just wanted to hear what we were doing. And they came in and heard it and, you know, just really loved it and really thought that it would, you know, fit really well with, you know, what they were trying to, you know, the kind of artist they wanted on the label. And they were just really aggressive about wanting it, which was lovely. And also they didn't want to change anything about it, which was really great and refreshing. Don't be afraid to live out loud. Never squash who you are. Be proud. Yeah. You're a universal sound. Yes, you are. What you gotta say, say it loud. Baby, don't you act demure. Somebody else feels insecure.
I understand you started recording when you were 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
What were you recording back then?
Well, I made this record. My dad was doing a concert in Milan, Italy. And at the end of this concert, he said, "Oh, you know, my daughter's going to come and sing a song for you guys." And da-da-da. It was a full orchestra that he had on stage. And so I sang this song, Out Here My Own, from Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Fame was my favorite movie at the time. And it just kind of became this huge thing over there. And they just was just, she has to do a record and da-da-da. And the next thing I knew, we were in the studio making this record. And then it just got released all over Europe and South America and Israel. And it was just this crazy whirlwind of a crazy childhood.
My goodness. And with your dad working with Frank Sinatra, I'm mm-hmm. sure, you know, what an incredible family legacy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I grew up around some pretty amazing musicians, and I, you know, I think it kind of got in somehow, but it wasn't like, as a kid, I wasn't super aware of who was around and what was going on. It was just kind of my normal, you know, upbringing.
Being surrounded with some of the most creative people in the world was just
know,
your normal
I know.
Upbringing.
It sounds really like I'm playing it down, but, you know, kids...
Of course.
You know, kids are like, whatever, throw me in the pool, you know? Like, they don't really care. But obviously, looking back, it's pretty cool. When your faith lights the cannon, when your pride is pulling the trigger, when nobody is left standing.
You know, between Like a Feather and now, you have people who have become known for having this soulful funk approach to music, like Amy Winehouse, and who are white. And let's just be real. You know, there's a black vernacular that you're playing with, and you've never, you know, you've never shied away from that. But do you think that now there's more room for people who are white women singers to play with the black vernacular in music and to find fans?
I've always been asked this question, even back in, even before Amy Winehouse, it was, oh, now you sound like, you know, Christina Aguilera, or there was that whole kind of blue-eyed kind of soul, whatever movement that was.
Christina's not as funky as you are.
Well, I know. But back then, she was, you know, whatever. She was white, she was riffing, whatever it was. Different kind of thing. And now it's Amy Winehouse and Duffy and, you know, before that it was, you know, Tina Marie, and then it was Dusty Springfield, and, you know, it goes on and on and on. To me, I'm glad that now, actually, I feel a little bit like the audience and radio have kind of caught up to what I've been doing all along, that now they're a bit more open with the success of Amy Winehouse, and that they're a bit more open to this kind of music, you know, that maybe when I was making records, you know, early 2000, they were like, no one is going to listen to this, we're not going to play it, like, you know, no one's going to dig it, da-da-da-da-da. And now it's been proven that people like it if they just get a chance to hear it.
You do have a song that's a bit more sober, though, Bullets in the Sky. The path of fear of being led to tread. Are you more hopeful now? I mean, you know, considering that that's in a context of war, do you feel more hopeful about the world than those lyrics would suggest?
Sure. You know, I think with the, you know, with Obama being, you know, nominated, elected, I think it's incredible. It's an amazing time. And I don't think we've felt, and I, you know, have felt hope that anything could make a difference, or that our voices would be heard, or, you know, anything that it was remotely possible. I'm hopeful for sure that, you know, can't get any worse. Is that my last quote of the interview?
That's your last.
Oh,
that's
no.
Your last. You can invent another quote. Let's see.
No.
Okay. Last one.
That can't
one.
Be your last question.
Last one. What's your favorite song on this album?
Oh, okay. Probably right now I'm loving I'd Love to Love You Less, because it's just such a kind of fun song to sing, and it's very tongue in cheek. It's very sassy. And it's basically this kind of ballad where if you don't listen to the lyrics, you think it's some sentimental love song, but it's really about staying with this useless guy because he's really good in bed.
That's such an improbable scenario.
I personally have never been there. But
yeah, exactly. I can't even imagine it.
Well, you can't keep a home.
That was NPR's Farai Chidea speaking with singer-songwriter Nika Costa. Her latest album is Pebble to a Pearl. You can watch video of this interview and a performance by Nika Costa on our blog, nprnewsandviews.org.
The time you are.